I started the recording. Thanks.
And you'll send it to me when.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Shakar. So the second luchos were very different from the first luchos. The first luchos were delivered in much fanfare and pageantry and thunder and lightning, the senior parshas Yisro. And the second luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu ascends by himself and he's covered by the stone and it's only Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Medrash says, Ein lecha yafa min atznius. That's quiet, where no one's paying attention, not drawing attention to yourself, just being you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the greatest madrega. By the way, people make this mistake when they say the word tznius. This is me talking now, not the Sfas Emes. They think that tznius is for women. Tznius is not a women's issue. Tznius is that you don't behave in a way that's grandstanding and showmanship and exhibitionist. And the source of it is because you know Hashem's in the room. So when Hashem's in the room, you act in accordance with that. You don't shut down and put your head down because Hashem's in the room, but you're a little bit less self-promotional. You don't draw attention to yourself. Now, unnecessarily, there's no purpose. Now, one of the ways that women would be drawing attention to themselves because of their physical beauty is through non-dressing in a way that people will be attracted to looking at them. But men also can draw attention to themselves in ways that are inappropriate. And even with women, it's not just about dress. It's also about how they deport themselves. I've seen women who dress fully covered, but they don't have tznius because they're very self-promotional, draw attention unnecessarily. And women who, for whatever reason, aren't able to keep the halachas of tznius, but their disposition, their personalities. So obviously, dress is really important. It's a halacha. But the concept of tznius is not about women. The concept of tznius applies to men also. And it's because Hashem's in the room. If there's a purpose, then of course you promote yourself. There's a purpose to draw attention, to give a shiur, to be makir someone, to make someone laugh. But just to draw attention to yourself, that you want people to look at you. Just because you want people's attention, that's a lack of tznius. So that's why the only time you don't have to have tznius is when you're dancing with the Torah, because you're doing it for Hashem. All purpose of tznius is to recognize Hashem's in the room. David HaMelech danced like a crazy man for the Torah, because there's no need for tznius in that context. Okay, so now the Sfas Emes is saying, wait a second, if tznius is such an important value, why weren't the first luchos given with tznius? It's like I call it the Yaakov Yosef question. Oh, when Yaakov met Yosef, Yaakov was such a tzaddik that instead of crying, he was saying Krishma. What about Yosef? So that means Yosef wasn't a tzaddik? So, wow, the second luchos were so surpassing, they were delivered in a quiet setting. What about the first luchos? So going to the Sfas Emes, the first and the second luchos represent different conditions and different states of Avodas Hashem. There is one state where it's passionate and exciting and you want to spread it to other people and you want to teach other people and inspire other people. And that was the original plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The problem was that plan didn't succeed even before the first luchos were delivered because Amalek came. And Amalek isn't just an Amalek diminished and weakened our potential, but Amalek set up a wedge between the Jewish people and the world. The world is no longer so amenable to the Jewish people. Now there's hostility. Amalek represents, at least in this context, anti-Semitism, unwillingness to listen to the Jewish message. So there was that potential, and that potential slowly faded. And maybe the Egel was the final, he doesn't say this, but okay, well, after Amalek, you shouldn't have that potential at all. The potential was still lingering, but with the Chet HaEgel, it was clear that that potential to spread the word of Hashem with great fanfare, with great excitement, for other people to be excited by it, was lost. And now a very different mode of Avodas Hashem is sitting in. Quiet, silent, Hester, without people noticing, without being spread to the world, just serving Hashem B'tznius, just you and the Rabbanu Shlomo. And to herald that second stage, that second condition, the second luchos are delivered with tznius. Now, this is not just true about that point of history. It's true about two other systems. It's true about Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, that Olam Haba there'll be clarity, and Olam Haba there'll be obvious presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Olam Haba, or Mashiach, will be spreading the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in clear and plain view, clear and plain sight. But in this world, especially in Golos in the 18th or 19th century in Poland, where Hasidim were listening, Sfas Emes is 19th century, it doesn't look that way. No one's really too excited to hear the Jewish message. In fact, the opposite. So, but you look at that second luchos and know that one day that luchos will exist. And second of all, even in your personal life, and this world is a great message for yeshiva. He says, well, if that fanfare and passion and excitement is all going to fade, why generate it? So he says as follows, sometimes when you generate real passion, excitement, and energy, even when it tapers off, it still leaves an impact and it still anchors you. Sound like yeshiva? Why should it be such a big deal? Yeshiva, we're trying to learn 10, 12, 13 hours a day, you know, I'd give my right arm if I knew that in 10 years you'd be a Daf Yomi Jew. Yeah, really, because unless you stay in the yeshiva world, if you're going to be a professional one day, just to learn Daf Yomi for an hour and go to Minyan three times a day, you have to be heroic. So why don't we just have a yeshiva like that, to have Daf Yomi and go to Minyan three times a day the rest of the time? We could take it easy.
No, that's
what I'm thinking. Right, right. I mean, we know that's what you do. So, you know, don't worry. I'm sure you don't do that. Because all this hislavos and all this intensity and all this excitement and passion that you'll live for the years you're in yeshiva, even when you can't live it because the world prevents you, it will still exist emotionally, and it will express itself even in lesser hours of accomplishment, but still that passion hopefully will be there in whatever time you can learn and can spend time in tefillah and Beis Hashem. So it's not just the difference between pre-Amalek and post-Amalek, or between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. It's the difference between certain stages in your life of Farhesia and stages of your life of Bitzina. And for Hessian sin is not just how many people are looking, but how much energy and hislavus and outwardness, and how much you just have to just be you and yourself and be an Oved Hashem, which ultimately it all comes down to for everyone. How can you be an Oved Hashem when no one's watching? So I read you the line. O Mikomakom, this is where he's taking what's true historically and Kabbalistically and making it true, Jason, in your heart. That's the power of Kabbalah, that everything that happens up there is true in here. And the trends and the dichotomies of Kabbalah also affect how you experience. So Mikomakom, Gam Ze Emes, Ki Lule Hislavos HaKodim Bepirsim. If you won't have the original Hislavos that was public, Lohaya Achar Kach Yicholas Leilich B'derech Tzniyas, you couldn't navigate the quiet road, the quiet time. Rak Ayidei Shekvar Hikdimu B'Kol Yicholas, once you have that first explosion, eruption of Har Sinai Kol Yicholas, Niskayim Achar Kach Tzniyas, so the Tzniyas can happen, the quieter, more day to day. The Zel Limud Ladaros, this teaches us an eternal lesson. Ki bitchila tzarech lios bislavos atzim. The first start with burst and energy. You're starting now your world of Torah. It has to be with energy and with burst. The imki loya nisher zos bislavos davashol kayama. You're not going to live like this. Again, unless you stay in yeshiva, you're not going to have this experience in 20 years, in 5 years, in 10 years. Im kol ze hi ha'etza liyamei ha'yirida achakach. This is slavos rishona. Is advice or is a way of navigating the Yerida Acharkach, so that the passion lingers and expresses itself a little differently in mitzvahs, in chesed, in daf yomi, in tefillah, because you want to be an Oved Hashem. You lived the life once. If you ask me, I'll give my own experience. How many hours did I learn a day? Let's say you wake me up in the middle of the night. How many hours of Torah did I learn a day? My gut answer would be 11 hours. Now, the last time I learned 11 hours was in yeshiva. I'm so busy. I'm so busy with things. I wish. But in my gut and soul, that's what I'd like. If the world could stop, and I wouldn't have to do anything else, I'd just sit and learn for 10 hours. That's what I would love to do. And I did it once, and it defines me, even though it doesn't, not my expression. So I'm living through this Sfas Emes, where there's the me that I'd like to be and the me that I was, and hopefully it's continuing to fuel the only me that I can become now, because of, you know, I'm limited, or because, you know, I don't have the freedom or resources. Okay, so it's a very, very insightful. So that's the first Luchos and the second Luchos.